Hey, Hyvian, Steve here with a quick message about our amazing sponsor, Timeless Pints Brewery. You know, Timeless Pints is local right here in Southern California, off the 405 freeway, Cherry Avenue exit, right next to the Long Beach Airport. And they are open and filling growlers during the coronavirus crisis. Chris and Mary are there during the week. Stacy is there on the weekends. And they can fill your growler so that you can stay home, do what you're supposed to be doing for coronavirus, and enjoy your timeless pints in the comfort of your own home while socially distancing and keeping everyone else safe and healthy from your germs. They've got all different kinds of beer: stouts, porters, light beer, dark beer, Belgians, and it's all delicious. They make it here on site at Timeless Pints right here in Lakewood. What more do you want? Go down, get your growler filled, and enjoy the best beer in Southern California in the comfort of your own home. For hours and beer availability, you can look them up on Facebook at Timeless Pints Brewing Company or follow them on Twitter at Timeless Pints. And when you go down, say hi to Stacy or Chris or Mary. Make sure you tell them the Wretched Hive sent you.
Welcome to the Wretched Hive Podcast.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Moss Eisley Spaceport.
What are you talking about?
You will never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
This is ridiculous.
We must be cautious.
Actually, we're just a bunch of guys talking about Star Wars and other stuff.
I'm looking forward to having some real talk with some real folks.
That's good news.
I like the sound of that.
So, if you want to find a Coke or a Sprite over at Galaxy's Edge, all you need to do is go to Alabama.
I'm sure that's safe right now. They might even have businesses open there.
Apparently there are some, because they're selling Galaxy's Edge sodas in Alabama, of all places. Who knew? But we're going to tell you all about that backstory because you have found the Wretched Hive Podcast for Friday, May 1st, 2020, episode 149 of the show.
It's going to be May.
My name is Steve Baldwin, and the entire Hive has joined in tonight. And let's start it off, as we always do, with the Wookiee co-pilot, Greg Lent.
Stevie B's Marquee, You got what I need, and I say you are just a friend. That's what I'm telling you, and I'm glad to be here. Pandemics or not, I'm so happy to be a part of the fivesome that is the Wretched Five, part of the Wretched Hive. Thank you.
Oh, I'm so glad you're here too, Greg. That was wonderful. And gosh, I think we're going to start doing a daily show, because I'm going to put you on the spot. You're going to have to come up with a new Stevie B introduction every single day of the week.
I can do it. I'm up for the challenge. All right. I got nothing but time right now. Nothing but time.
All right. Also joining the show tonight, he is a lifelong Star Wars fan, Evansky.
Oh, my God. I'm so happy to be here tonight, Steve. I got to tell you, It's great being almost May 2021. Oh, wait. What month? What year are we? I can't remember now.
You got the year wrong.
It doesn't matter anymore.
It doesn't matter, right? Can we just lose track? It's the Matrix, right? It's 100 years into the future. Oh, dear God.
Are we all living in a simulation? Is that what you're suggesting? That this is not real?
Is this real life? I hope so.
That explains a lot. Also on the show tonight is the captain of the
Millennial Falcon,
Nico Rodriguez.
Hey, hi, hello. How are you guys doing tonight?
Good, Nico. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm doing all right.
I see your kitty cat there on the screen. What's going on there?
Yeah, she's biting the shit out of my hands right now, and it kind of hurts. Mm.
Well, you are kind of letting her do it.
She's a terrorist.
Mm. Oh, we're blazing through the intros tonight. I love this. And finally,
Brenda's beaver needs a barber.
We have.
As soft and sweet as it may seem, her beaver is a mess.
Dave!
Brenda's beaver's hairy.
Under no circumstances.
Brenda's beaver's scary.
Should you ever?
Brenda took her beaver for a swim down at the lake.
And I mean,
she stuffed that furry mound into a swimming suit.
Ever!
It stuck out all around. It was anything but cute.
Call him.
Your beaver needs a makeover. It needs it now.
Harry.
Your beaver is to put bushy. We just think it needs a trim.
Potter.
I think I was one short. Damn it. Oh, God damn it.
That's a first. That's
you know, first. I thought I'd read all the Dr. Seuss books, but apparently I missed one somewhere.
You missed one. You missed one.
Welcome to the show, Dave.
Wow. I always say to myself, he's never going to be able to keep this up. And you prove me wrong every time, Gray.
That's what she
proves me wrong every goddamn time.
Well, you know, I hate to step on your introduction, so I'll just make it quick, is that, you know, everybody's thinking about haircuts. And so I thought it was apropos.
There you go. There you go. You know, hey, you know what? I'm not even going to go there. All right. Hey, thanks to my favorite Rebel scum, Stevie B. Thanks to Greg Lent for making it memorable, as always. And here we are. It's in month. I don't even know. Is it this day or that day? I'm honestly just happy if I remember to wear pants to work. And when I say work, I mean when I go downstairs from my bedroom to the living room and log into my computer. So I am always happy to see you guys. But I have to say, it is weird that I haven't actually seen you guys. Any of you guys in nearly 2 months, and I think that's a good stretch for us.
Yeah, that's a record.
It's really interesting too. But you know, I've really enjoyed the Zoom calls that we've occasionally been on, the 5 or 6 p.m. happy hour calls. Those make a big difference. You know, just connecting with people and just spending an hour chatting. You know,
I see how it is. Thanks for the invite, Steve.
I'm sorry. I thought I was talking to work colleagues. My bad. Hey, you guys are always invited. Of course. Are you kidding? Come on down.
You have a cat. You have a cat. You're always welcome.
Thanks, Dave.
All right. Well, that's fuck you, Scott.
that was a bit of a fuck you, Scott. But I will. So I am excited, and I think we're going to get to this a little later, but Clone Wars is one of the new bits of entertainment that I have to watch every week when it comes out. Mm-hmm. And since this is the last season, I'm also excited because it means I will watch Rebels for the first time, which I've never seen. So I'll get to experience Rebels the way it was always intended, which is after season 7 of the Clone Wars.
Nice.
You're right, Greg, Dave. You've watched Rebels, haven't you?
All except the back half of the last season. I haven't quite caught the very end of it yet. And, It's okay. Yeah, it's like in this time that we're in right now, sure, it's worth it.
So wait, Greg, you're going with it's okay, but I think I've seen some quotes on our thread that Clone Wars is crazy or what?
I don't want to get ahead of the Clone Wars discussion because I think it'll be important to frame up how we all wound up with now 4 of us have seen this out of the 5. But
I was curious about
Rebels because that's been out for a long time. I don't feel like there's a need for spoilers or anything.
Yeah.
You're saying it's okay, it's not great, but I'm not going to be wasting my time watching it.
Yeah, Rebels is clearly in the it's a kids show camp. So, if you appreciate your Star Wars and you appreciate kids shows, yeah, it's worth a watch.
Okay.
Wait, you say that Rebels is clearly a kids show, but mm-hmm. that's how I feel about like the first like couple or few or 5 seasons of Clone Wars.
All right, let's
and that's what kept me off of Clone Wars for a long time. Especially, well, of what I watched from Clone Wars was the movie and the very first couple of the first episodes of the first season.
Mm-hmm.
And it was bad.
I think Clone Wars, as the man who argued it was the worst Star Wars product ever produced, mm-hmm. I think Clone Wars definitely went on an evolutionary path, which is not uncommon for a TV show. I mean, you do a pilot, they do an order, and I still think it takes, you know, anywhere from a half a season to a full season for a show to really find its legs, figure out what it wants to be about, learn who their actors are. Clone Wars was was no exception to that. But it's
right, and that's, I know we're gonna have the Clone Wars discussion, but that's why I was kind of questioning Greg's review of complete dog shit or whatever it was that you said. So I'm like, dude, wait, I know the movie was, and you've only got through a couple of the first episodes. We need to have a discussion about this. So I know we're getting into it later, Steve. So
thank God someone let me bridge to bridge away from that and on to the news. And if you've ever helped me bridge onto something that these guys were trying to pull away from, give me a call. Let me know how that went at the Wretched Hive hotline. That's 562-455-4483. That's 562-455-HIVE. That's H-I-V-E.
In case you can't spell Hive.
You're goddamn right! And you can also find us online at Facebook. That's facebook.com/WretchedHivePodcast. That's right. And you can find us on Twitter at Wretched Hive Pod, on Instagram at Wretched Hive 77. You can also listen to the show on Google Podcasts, Stitcher, on TuneIn Radio, and of course, Apple Podcasts. And if you haven't left a review on Apple Podcasts, we would much appreciate it if you would do so. So guys, let's jump into the news. There's a lot. Oh, Dave, did you have something?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I'm not sure what else people have to do but leave us positive reviews on Apple Podcasts at this point in time.
Right.
If you have some time on your hands, jump in, leave a podcast review for this and every podcast you listen to, because support podcasters everywhere.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't just do that?
Yes, you can. Let's get into
it. You can't just do that.
From ABC News World Headquarters, this is ABC World News Tonight.
No, it's not. It's Star Wars news with the Wretched Hive.
So be it.
All right, so before we even really began, we jumped right into the Clone Wars. So I'm going to jump around the hours and hours of research I put into the show notes every week. And I'm just going to jump right down.
Slaving away.
To the Clone Wars. Clone Wars Season 7 is... I'm just going to jump out and say it. To me, it's the best sequel Star Wars that I've seen.
Sequel to what?
Wow.
It's the best. It's the best Star Wars of the sequel. Well, I guess it's actually prequel. But it's the best Star Wars that's been released to me, at least since The Force Awakens.
Better than Mandalorian.
Close.
Yeah. Wow.
I think these last two episodes of season 7, which are episode 9, Old Friends Not Forgotten, and then episode 10, The Phantom Apprentice, are close to Mandalorian to me. Pretty darn close.
I will say that these, when Clone Wars season 7 started, you know, the lost season of Clone Wars, there was a lot of buzz that was going around that, oh, they're not really living up to the idea that this is the last season. And 9 and 10 have definitely blown that criticism out of the water. It is
rocketing towards an ending.
Yeah, it's the long-awaited, long-talked-about, long-speculated-about Siege at Mandalore storyline. And it's going in a completely different direction from what I thought it was going to do. But my jaw has been on my chest most of the two episodes that I've watched. It is easily the best prequel product I have seen from Lucasfilm. And it's significant because for all of us old time, old school Star Wars fans, this is the last thing that George Lucas had any input into. Because remember, Clone Wars was canceled when Disney bought Lucasfilm. This season had already been roughly plotted out with George Lucas's input and buy-in, and Filoni has continued to go back to the maker to help flesh out some of the little details that are happening.
So, Dave, before I drop out of this, when you guys get into the details of these episodes, because I haven't watched it yet, I do want to clear something up. Now, you mentioned the lost episodes. But that was also the previous season. I believe season 6 was called the Lost Season because it was never released on the network at the time. So it was eventually put out later on. So this is where it's going to get a little confusing. Is Are you saying they're calling this the lost season now?
I and thank you for clarifying that. I'm saying I'm calling it that. You are correct. The season six episode arcs, those are euphemistically referred to as the lost season because they were only released on Netflix after the show had been canceled off of the Cartoon Network.
Okay.
There was intended to be a seventh season beyond that. Okay. And when Lucasfilm was acquired by Disney, it got axed and kiboshed. But a lot of the stories had already been plotted out. The first story arc in season seven, which has a name, I'm just going to call it the Bad Batch storyline.
Yeah.
That's had, you know, artwork and rough concepts and things floating around the internet for years. The second story arc, which focuses on the, not focuses, but introduces us to the concept of the underworld in Coruscant. That was intended to be a launching point for a later Lucasfilm series, Underworld, that, again, Disney put the kibosh on after they bought Lucasfilm.
Okay.
And then we get to this final storyline, Siege at Mandalore, and boy, howdy, are they kicking in the doors and pulling out all the stops on this one.
Great, great. Okay, cool, thanks, man. I just wanted to be clear on it.
No spoilers for you there, I hope, Scott.
No, I'm good. And okay. If you guys start talking, I'll just drop out for a minute because I will catch up. Sorry, I haven't caught up on this one. But
so I will say before we get into it, I think this is fun in that Steve and I have been the ones who have probably the most followed the Clone Wars all out of the group of us. I mean, Scott, too, but you've been even more distracted by life than we have recently. So Steve and I were kind of keeping up on this, and I remember seeing it the day the first episode dropped for Siege of Mandalore and texting Steve like, oh my God, you have to watch this. I am not bullshitting you. You have to watch this. It's that good.
Okay.
And the next day, Steve texted me back and was like, you are not lying. That was some solid advice. That's the only solid advice you've ever given me. And we and in our Facebook thread, we were talking about it in Jones. Before we need to talk about this one, we need to do something. And Nico's like, well, I want to watch it, but I'm trying to watch the whole show and I'm only on like episode 5 of season 1. And Steve and I immediately bullied and peer pressured him into skipping the whole show and watching the 2 episodes that had dropped. And Nico, again, correct me if I'm wrong, you were like I appreciate that, that actually was really good, thank you guys.
Yeah.
And then you joined us in peer pressuring Greg to watch it. Greg, who hates the Clone Wars,
spices, loathes the Clone Wars.
And now, Greg has now watched the 2 episodes, and you're like, wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I don't hate the show, but I had zero desire to go back and watch the show based off of how it started. Like,
I'm like,
I have a bazillion other things I'd rather be doing. Yeah. I have to learn how to knit. I have to count the kernels of poop and corn in my poop. I have so much going on in my life right now.
You have to determine how many sheets of toilet paper are in the house at this moment in time.
Exactly. I'm splitting plies on toilet paper. I have zero time for Clone Wars.
You're equating all of these comparisons to something that's associated with shit. So going back to your dog shit analogy of this, I have to strongly disagree. And before you get into all the talk on it, it really is a good series. You just have to get over some of the smaller, rougher ones, and by God, you really hit the roughest one. So
yeah,
the movie.
No, Scott, I have zero doubt about that. Absolutely zero doubt about that. And I'm sure it's fine. There's life is happening, and I haven't had time to stay down and go back and really check out the show. And I feel like I should. I say it's dog shit and garbage, and I say all this stuff really just more for fun. So
I know.
So just pull back the curtain a little bit just to say that. But in as I was talking about Rebels, I said it's solidly a kid show, and I said it like that on purpose because I watched these 2 episodes of Clone Wars, and this is a movie. This is not like made for the Cartoon Network like it originally aired. This is made as a standalone piece of Star Wars film, and I was like, I'm like, damn, and it was good. I'm not blind. It was good.
Honestly, Greg, if the last 2 episodes live up to the first 2, I hope they do edit these 4 together into a cinematic release and put it out in movie theaters. I will say this right now, Disney, I will pay money to go see this in theaters.
Yeah. So let's pull away from this a little bit. I'm dying to get into some of the finer plot points, and I don't want to spoil anything from Scott. So Scott, okay. For Scott. So you wanted to say something, Scott, and then we're going to get into some of the finer points here.
I did try to start. I skipped ahead because I didn't finish. There was the first few episodes were the Bad Batch, the really kick-ass crazy clone team, right, with the gray and the black markings and stuff. I did skip ahead to try and start and catch up, but I couldn't do it. But it's the one where it starts off with the reuniting of Ahsoka. Is that correct? Or is it before that?
What?
The reuniting with who?
Anakin and Ahsoka.
Yes, that's...
That is the beginning of the Siege of Mandalore storyline. That is the first episode of that, yes.
Okay, so I did watch about half of that first episode. I will walk away and let you guys discuss it, so...
Okay. And you liked what you saw, correct?
Oh, my God, it was great. Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was very tough to walk away from the episode, but I had to, so...
Gotcha. All right, give us a few minutes.
Cool. All right. I'll make a drink.
All right, so Scott is removing himself in this conversation so as to avoid spoilers.
Which
now, we can talk about him.
I know. Now we can make fun of the bad guy. He's never going to hear this.
He doesn't listen back to the show. So,
no.
All right. So
that being said, to our listeners, spoilers incoming.
Yes. Big time spoilers incoming. If you haven't watched this,
thank you.
Yeah, ooh, fast forward ahead through this.
Hold on. You know what we need to do?
Oh, Jesus.
All right. You've been warned.
That's horrible. That is so horrible.
I love it every time.
It woke the cat up. That's how loud it is.
Okay, so right off the bat with this first episode, The typeface is different on this.
So yes, it's an old school Easter egg right away, right out of the chute for these episodes. For us long time Star Wars fans, I don't think that Lucasfilm Limited Production logo, I don't think that's been used on anything since 1983. And I just, the second that flopped up on my screen, I was like, oh my God, they are going all out. This is it. They are going all fucking out.
Yeah. Right.
I didn't even realize that because I don't watch the show. So it came and went for me, and I didn't realize that was a change.
Okay.
Yeah, but
was it the old blue block letters?
Mm-hmm.
And not the big scroll.
Yeah, and I think I didn't go back and research it, but I think the music, the opening title music, was different as well. I'm not sure if it's a different composer, if it's Michael. I think it's Giacchino that was doing it, but it seemed like it was more along the lines of the Star Wars main theme. It just felt a little bit different than the typical Clone Wars.
If that wasn't a John Williams soundtrack, it was so damn close that they might as well just use the original John Williams soundtrack, which is another big change for Clone Wars, because they've had their own kind of distinctive derivative of John Williams music that they've used to score the episode. And that first one in particular, that was all classic Star Wars music cues. It gave it a huge cinematic feeling because John Williams is oxygen for Star Wars, as we've discussed many times.
That's exactly right. And then the other thing I noticed, of course, with the entire season 7, the animation and the 3D animation on the show has just ramped up to levels really I've never seen on television. And on a nice 4K television, boy, the show looks so good. It's just beautiful to watch. And the camera movements, the coloring, the shadows, it looks very cinematic, to your point, Greg. I think it would really play well on the big screen.
Well, and I'm sure we'll get into it, but as I was watching the big fight between, between Maul and Ahsoka, as I was watching that, I'm like, this looked rotoscoped. It does not look like hand-drawn animation. It looks rotoscoped. And that's the process where they would film a sequence and then draw over the actors, you know. Sleeping Beauty famously is one of the first movies who like perfected the rotoscoping technique. And it creates a different look. It takes this animation and it gives a real human feel to it. So I watched that fight and I'm like, this looks real. And come to find out, they mocapped the whole scene. So I'm like, there you go. So it's just the next generation of rotoscoping. So,
and I think they used Ray Park actually for the promotion.
100% they did.
Yep. Yeah, and actually, there's a link now. You can go to io9.gizmodo.com. There's a story, if my browser would work. There we go. It's titled "Watch the Original Darth Maul Help Bring Clone Wars' Most Incredible Lightsaber Duel to Life." And that's dated as we record the show today. So that's April 29th, story by James Whitbrook. You can see a video side-by-side comparison of Ray Park and his sparring partner. Who
was equally good. I don't remember her name. And I apologize. It's in the article. But she was equally good as well.
Yep, that's Lauren Mary Kim.
Thank you.
Who is battling alongside, well, with Ray Park playing the role of Ahsoka. With the two-bladed or two separate lightsabers, and you can see how their movements are perfectly mimicked by the animation. It's really cool. So go check that out.
And as somebody who is, you know, mid season one of the show right now,
yeah,
making that jump to these last two episodes is a dramatic and jarring kind of change. To be honest, when I first started that episode 9. And the first, you know, animation comes up. I think it's in space. But then when I first saw Obi-Wan on the bridge, I was like, whoa, this looks way different. It's like the animation, there's a lot more like depth to it. There's more shadows. There's a little bit more definition to everything, more detail. Whereas like in the first season, the first episodes that I've been watching, everything is very pastel. There's not a lot of shadows going on. There's not a lot of detail in any of the armor. Everything's very, you know, kind of blocky and very simple. Yeah. And these episodes, you know, that's a big, big change.
Everything's very flat in the first two seasons or three seasons compared to later in the show.
And these couple episodes were great. They looked so good. And now I'm kind of really sad that I have to go back to Fisher-Price, my first animation episode.
One thing I want to say about that bridge, just because Nico brought it up, that is an advantage that they have, because now all the Star Wars work that's been done since, you know, Clone Wars was canceled. That sequence is, I think, deliberately designed to be reminiscent of Luke's confrontation with Kylo Ren and Kylo Ren's forces at the end of The Last Jedi, where Anakin's striding out over the bridge as everybody's shooting at him and nobody's hitting him, striding out as a lone person to confront, you know, the enemy forces. And then you have, you know, his son, Luke, striding out as a soul force to confront and deal with Kylo Ren and Kylo Ren's forces. I think it's one of those, they took advantage of an idea that was probably already there, but to structure it visually so that it echoes and rhymes with a passage, you know, later in the Skywalker family saga.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that falls right in line with Star Wars ring theory, with the repeating nature of the history of Star Wars and the events of Star Wars. I love the sequence since we're still on episode 9, before we jump to the Phantom Apprentice, where Ahsoka actually confronts Maul. But I loved Ahsoka's return and the clone troopers that had made themselves up to look like her in her honor. I just got chills from that. And I thought it was so cool that they were, you know, Anakin and Ahsoka walking through the Star Destroyer, and they're saluting her, and it just showed the respect they have for her. And I felt like it was sort of Filoni's way of saying, like, look, this is an important character, and we need to have respect for this character.
Has she not been on the show the whole season? Has it been focusing more on Anakin and Obi-Wan?
Yeah, the first story arc focused pretty much entirely on Anakin. Well, it focused more on the clone troopers, and Anakin was a bit player in it. The second story arc focused exclusively on Ahsoka. And that second story arc actually had another great callback to the mainline Star Wars films, and that there was a sequence where Ahsoka was in a ship that was flying by a Republic battleship that Anakin was on, and they weren't supposed to be there. And there was a great, great moment where Anakin kind of walks over to one of the clone troopers and says, "Hey, what's the deal with that ship over there?" And they're like, "Oh, sir, it's just this, and they're out of position, and do you want me to detain them?" And you can see him reach out with the Force to see who's on the shuttle, and he does a little subtle reaction to it, and he goes, "No, just let them pass." And it's a great, great callback to the Return of the Jedi sequence with Luke and the Tidarian shuttle.
Yeah.
But it's the second storyline is almost exclusively on Ahsoka, that second story arc. And that positions her for where we find her at the beginning of the Siege of Mandalore, where the Mandalorian strike force shows up and basically says, "You're coming with us because we need your help to go after Maul."
Right.
Okay. All right. Yeah. That's all great. That stuff I didn't get.
And the moment when Anakin gives, you know, he's been holding her lightsabers and waiting to give them back to her, and he gives them back to her, and it's just it gave me chills.
So here's a fun thing that I read about on the internet, and I'm assuming that because I read it on the internet, it's true. I haven't watched Rebels, so I don't know this, but apparently Ahsoka does eventually confront Vader in Rebels.
Yes.
And I have read that after Anakin gives her back her lightsabers in Clone Wars, she strikes a pose and ignites and deactivates them. And that is the exact same pose that she's in when she confronts Vader and activates the lightsabers for their fight.
I don't remember, but it wouldn't surprise me because they do meet in Rebels. Yes.
Yeah.
That's really the only reason why I'm watching Clone Wars is for the whole Ahsoka thing.
Yeah.
Because when I heard that she was in Rebels and then she confronted Vader, and she's older, the thing that really interests me about this concept of Anakin having had an apprentice during the whole Clone Wars and everything is that we never hear a single peep about it in any of the films. They never mentioned that he would take up an apprentice. They never mentioned when he had an apprentice. They never mentioned anything about his apprentice having left the order or coming back or any of that stuff in any of the movies at all. So for me, it's really, I'm trying to figure out how they swing that and justify that in the show to be, you know, fluid in the movies. Because as of right now, having not seen it all, it doesn't make sense to me. Like, I understand the concept that, like, yeah, he would have had an apprentice. That makes sense. But why wouldn't that apprentice have been in the movies? Why wouldn't we hear anything about it? And you know, being a denizen of the internet, you hear so much about Ahsoka and the big role that she plays in the show. And then it was a really big deal when she came back in Rebels. And I'm just really interested to see how they justify why she wasn't in any of the movies.
Yeah.
So that's the only reason why I'm watching it, because as of right now, there's no reason that she should even exist as a character.
She's an absolute complete retcon. And if I remember what I've read about Clone Wars correctly, she was kind of a later addition to the show that one of the writers, and it may have been Filoni, kind of walked into a room and said, "Hey, what if the show focuses on Anakin's Padawan?" And the response was, "Anakin never had a Padawan." And the response was, "Yes, exactly." And because of how they structure, and because of how they structure Clone Wars, they could construct a story where the show starts after the events of the second movie, and the issue of why we don't see her in the third movie gets resolved before the end of the show, because the show would end, you know, right before, or as we're seeing now, concurrent with Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith. And the answer is that she left the Jedi Order before we get to the events of Revenge of the Sith. And then you can just say that movie didn't necessitate mentioning her at that point.
So Dave, you've almost got the story. You're misremembering it just a little bit. I've heard Filoni tell it so many times that I know it.
I have been drinking, in my defense.
the meeting was George and Dave Filoni, with George sitting him down and he's saying, okay, now we're going to talk about Anakin's Padawan. And Filoni said, Anakin never had a Padawan. And George said, yes, he did. No, he didn't. Yes, he did. It's like God telling you
George telling George Lucas he's wrong about something about Star Wars is like telling a woman she doesn't know what her due date is when she's pregnant. Exactly. I mean, you just don't do it.
Right. Yeah. And Anakin was Ahsoka was born from that conversation. So
And she is probably the best character addition to Star Wars canon, I would argue, since the end of the original trilogy.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Yep.
And what, so just out of curiosity, Dave, what character at the end of the original trilogy warrants being better than her? Who is that character introduction that ends that cutoff for you at the end of the original trilogy?
I didn't have anybody in mind. That's a great question. But I just meant it from a standpoint of, if you look at the original trilogy as George Lucas kind of told his story, his original story, and was kind of moving on at that point, it's the best addition to the Star Wars mythos since that time. I'm not saying that there was somebody in Return of the Jedi that grabbed my attention. Just I'm looking at it as a cutoff of George's, you know, original involvement.
But if you look at all the characters that have been introduced since the original trilogy, you know, the Rey, the Finn, the new era of Star Wars heroes.
The Rose. You think that Ahsoka is more influential than Rose, Dave?
Yes.
Don't let the internet hear you say that.
Bring it on, internet.
So we got through almost basically one episode. And I think you should go away for two more minutes because there's something that's important that we're about to talk about.
Okay.
Sorry, Scott.
We don't want to ruin it for you.
I don't want to spoil it for you, buddy. We have to talk about this lightsaber fight just a little bit more in this confrontation in the second episode, which is, first of all, the title of the episode grabs you right away, The Phantom Apprentice. I loved that these episodes, and it's quickly revealed that the timeline is right at episode 3 of the film. Episode 3.
Yeah, the first episode Revenge is kind of happening Sith. A yeah. little before the start of Revenge of the Sith, and right. episode 2 makes it clear we're running concurrent with Revenge of the Sith. Like event checks things that happen in the first half hour, 45 minutes of Revenge of the Sith.
Right. Oh, yeah, doesn't Obi-Wan like have to go somewhere, and he's telling Ahsoka, like, I would love to be there with you, but the council's sending me to Atapu to check on General Grievous. And it's like, oh, hey, that's when he says hello there.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Yep. And also references that Anakin has killed Dooku at that point.
Yes.
We won't be able to question Dooku, unfortunately. Why is that? Oh, Anakin killed him.
And he confides in Ahsoka. He's telling her about he comes so close to having the answer to what's going on, the truth of the Clone Wars, that, you know, the truth of Palpatine's dual role in the Clone Wars. And he comes so close to saying it. It's like you want him just to get over that hump of realizing that and getting through, you know, whatever the dark side is clouding reality for him. But he's so close to acknowledging it. And he just walks right up to the line as he's talking to Ahsoka and doesn't realize it. It's just great. It's just great writing.
It's a parallel story, which is hard to do. And I keep thinking back to the novel Ender's Game, and then Orson Scott Card came back years later and wrote a parallel novel to it, Ender's Shadow, and it's. Very, very challenging to go through the same material and the same events with overlapping characters and still tell a unique, independent, but interconnected and vital story. Mm-hmm. And to your point of they're walking right up to the edge and not quite figuring it out. I know you just want to scream like, Palpatine is Sidious. How can anybody miss this? When Maul is saying like, oh, Anakin is being groomed. You're like, it's so obvious. Why don't people see it? The only person who could be grooming Anakin is Palpatine.
And actually, it must have been in the first episode, in episode 9, but at one point he talks to Ahsoka about the fact that he's uncomfortable with this new role of spying on the Chancellor. Right? I can't remember if that's episode 9 or 10, but he shares that, yeah, that's what I'm doing. The Jedi Council has asked me to spy on him.
I think that was 9 because Ahsoka starts to take his side of that argument and confronts Obi-Wan about it in the second episode.
Okay, you're right. Yep. So good. So just to put a period at the end of this conversation, so when Scott comes back, we can continue with him. The lightsaber battle, among the best. And I know it's obviously animated, but a lot of it was motion captured, as we've discussed. It's so great. I love how they used Ray Park, and so the motion and the fluidity of Darth Maul is exactly like it is in the film. And when I saw it in the show, I was like, oh my God, they really captured it just like Ray Park. And then sure enough, it was Ray Park. So I thought that was so cool.
Yeah, that's what made me so happy about it too. Because as I was watching it, not knowing that it was a mocap performance or anything like that, I'm like, "Wow, they did a really, really good job of making this look like Ray Park doing this stuff." And I
it's like, "That is the best Ray Park impersonation I've ever seen."
I mean, from the first moment he ignites the lightsaber and he sort of, you know, holds it out in front like this.
Yeah,
It's again chills. Brought me back to episode 1. And that lightsaber fight with Obi-Wan and
Qui-Gon. In that Ray Park doing a Ray Park impersonation, isn't it true that, like, didn't Dolly Parton lose a Dolly Parton impersonation contest one time? Didn't she, like, walk into a Dolly Parton impersonation contest and not win?
Oh, that's funny.
I'm pretty sure that's true.
Sounds like a cool internet meme there, but I don't know if it's true or not. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, the way I heard it was in an interview with her, and she's the one who told the story.
Oh, that's great.
Well, and we all know Dolly Parton wouldn't lie. So, I love about the cinematic and the lightsaber use, though, is anytime Ahsoka is sliding down a steep embankment, and maybe I just noticed this, but she digs her lightsaber in behind her to create drag and stability.
Where she is jumping from ship to ship down from the Star Destroyer to get down to the surface of the planet, the animation in that scene is fantastic. And she lands with the characteristic sort of Ahsoka landing, and there's a big explosion behind her. I'm like, that's the money shot right there. That was so
race
badass.
Race you to the surface.
Yes, exactly.
And there was a Solo Easter egg in the second episode. I don't know if everybody caught it, but
I did. When, Syndicate.
Yeah, when Ball is talking to the Syndicate, it's what's his name? I forget the name of the character off the top of my head, but the guy played by Paul Bettany, who gets killed in Solo. He's there, and I'm honestly wondering if the ship at the end that's trying to pick Ball up, I'm wondering if that female pilot voice wasn't supposed to be Kira.
Oh.
I don't know anything about that. I haven't read anything, but that was my first thought was, ship pulls up and you hear a female pilot voice, you know, get in or be ready for pickup or whatever, and then they fly away.
Are we supposed to be getting more episodes in this season?
2 more episodes.
Yeah, so the next episode is Friday, actually today as we launch the show, May 1st, and then episode 12 on May 4th, Star Wars.
Monday, May 4th.
On Monday,
So yeah, the villain you were thinking of from Solo was Dryden Vos.
Yes, thank you, God.
And then you also have Print Zizor of the Black Sun Crime Syndicate, and that is significant because there's a story that you shared for the show notes, Dave. Star Wars: The Clone Wars just opened the door to Dash Rendar's debut. Dash Rendar was a character from multimedia yes. game project, Shadows of the Empire.
I was really hoping Scott would be current on Clone Wars because I know he's a big Shadows of the Empire guy. So yeah. I would humbly ask that we put a pin in that story and maybe come back to it once he's caught up.
We'll save that one for next time for Scott.
I really hope he's in the other room watching the episodes right now.
He's getting caught up.
Yeah, he can make good use of his time instead of sitting there drinking his troubles away.
He could have gotten the other half of that first episode that he didn't finish yet.
Exactly. God damn it, Scott.
That's right.
Fuck you, Scott.
All right.
That was creepy, Nico. Don't do that. That scared me.
So anything else, any other last-minute observations anyone would like to make before Scott makes his way back here?
Just that if you're not watching this, if you look askance on the Clone Wars, I am begging you, at least watch this story arc. Mm-hmm. I do not think you'll be disappointed.
Yeah. Speaking as a guy who has not watched the Clone Wars, I enjoyed the shit out of it. I don't know if it's good as Mandalorian, but it is on par with Mandalorian. If you like the Mandalorian... Yeah. And I think you would enjoy this last story arc of the Clone Wars 2, especially if you've seen episode 3, because it does really, you know, as I was watching it with my wife, she's like, when does this take place? And we immediately could figure it out when it takes place.
Right? Yeah, it's easily the best prequel product I have seen from Star Wars.
Yeah.
And I started by saying sequel. And you called me on that. It's a. That prequel. Scott, we've got a story here that we're not going to talk about. We're going to save it for next time. You need to watch these episodes so we can talk about it with you, my friend.
Oh, wow. Sorry. Okay.
It's all right. It's one I think you're uniquely qualified to speak about.
Oh, okay. Sorry. My iTunes freaks out, so every once in a while I just sit down and it starts playing. So I got some weird Santa Claus music going. Sorry about that.
You know what? Funny story. I went and no, this
That'll
is
be the first one
totally
on the show
related.
Ever.
I went and filled up our 5-gallon water jug today at a local place we have here. And on my way there, I turned on the radio and I didn't like anything I was listening to. So I was just tuning through it. And I found a radio station that was playing on air live nonstop Christmas music tonight on April 29th, 2020, as we record. Just
no shit. I just guessed. I'm like, I left my headphones plugged in and I'm walking by. I could hear some of the conversation, but I ignored it and walked away in the kitchen. I came back. I'm like, I'm sure they're good. I sit down and my iTunes just pops up on the screen and starts playing like some Christmas music, and it's got some weird bluesy 40s Santa Claus thing, and I'm like, what the hell just happened? I'm sorry, Steve, what were you saying now?
Oh no, we've got a story that we're gonna save for you for next time.
Oh,
because you are, as Dave said, uniquely qualified to discuss this, but you're gonna have to listen, you're gonna have to watch the shows.
Okay. Yeah, no problem.
These two episodes,
catch up.
You're not gonna be disappointed, Scott, I promise you.
Okay, can I say, I walked by, I tried to ignore everything you guys said, which I pretty much did, but I did catch, I think it was Nico, who said something about Dolly Parton. He is absolutely correct.
Yes!
So, Dolly Parton lost a Dolly Parton look-alike contest at a drag contest.
Yes!
With Dolly Parton and Cher look-alikes. And that is a quote from her.
That is fantastic.
I know my internet. Thank
I just
you
want to say that we are really in a pandemic, end of the world situation because Scott is agreeing with Nico.
Holy shit!
And if you're just now turning in, welcome to the Dolly Parton Hive, everybody. It's glad you could join us today for this episode.
The Dolly Parton Hive.
Thank you and fuck you.
All right. Oh, I feel normal again. Thank
all right, guys. Let's keep marching down the news highway here. More news released this week. Very exciting for me because I'm super pumped about this because I love Rogue One. And the Cassian Andor show starting to leak more news at StarWars.com about the casting for the Cassian Andor live action series, of course, being produced directly for Disney Plus. The actor who portrayed Mon Mothma in Rogue One is among four new cast members announced for the live-action Cassian Andor series. Star Diego Luna will be joined by Genevieve O'Reilly. She's the actress that played Mon Mothma.
Little-known secret about her is she is the exact same person who played Mon Mothma back in 1983. She's actually an alien that does not age.
My God. That's amazing. Man.
Yes.
Yeah, that's crazy. Good for her.
Well done.
Yeah. As well, also announced Stellan Skarsgård from Good Will Hunting.
Nice.
And Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End.
Yeah.
And Thor.
And Thor and the Avengers.
And some other whatever Marvel movies. Denise Go from Colette and Angels in America, and Kyle Soller from The Titan and Anna Karenina.
Nice.
So there you go. And Tony Gilroy, who co-wrote Rogue One, will write, direct, and serve as showrunner for the series. So that's going to be good. I'm really pumped for that one.
I think that's going to be a fantastic show. It's good. I'm excited for it. Who's running that show? Do we know?
Tony Gilroy. I just said.
Oh yeah, is he running it? Is he like the showrunner? Is he just like doing?
Yes, he's writing, directing, and serves as the showrunner.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Well, he came in and worked on the Rogue One movie, so yeah, I'll give it a shot. I'm excited.
We've got a quote from Diego Luna on Variety at Variety on Twitter. This is Diego talking about the fact that he used to grow up. He grew up watching the Star Wars films. Check this out.
About to start a Disney Plus show about Star Wars. What is it that excites you about that possibility? What are you excited about? What are you allowed to say about it, I guess?
Spoilers, go.
Yeah, no, I'm not allowed to talk about it, which is great, because I haven't started, so... But I'm just happy. I'm happy to be part of that universe because I grew up watching those films and having the chance to explore the role in 10 hours or as many hours as we get, it's going to be great. It was hard to start a film knowing you were going to die so fast, you know. But now we can talk about what happened earlier. So.
He was so invested in that character, knowing that the character was going to die at the end of the movie and being able to go back 5 years before. Oh, that's the other point. Star Wars announced the timeline. StarWars.com announced the timeline for the show is 5 years before the events of Rogue One, the film. So perhaps they're looking at a 5-season run.
Nice.
I'm guessing. Maybe.
That seems to be the MO for these types of shows. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, that's going to be great. I'm really pumped up about that one. I'm not so pumped up about this story, though.
You know, I am famous for having turned down the opportunity to be in Star Wars. Back in 1975, I hadn't wanted to be a director called George Lucas, but I did.
Well, good for you, Anthony. Anthony Daniels.
With Anthony Daniels as C-3PO.
Making the rounds on the YouTubes. Wired has a nice YouTube channel. They interviewed or did this special with Anthony Daniels, and he talks about playing C-3PO in the films, and he explains every costume that he wore in the films.
Like, how many times have you watched this video, Steve?
I did not watch the entire thing all the way through, Dave.
Quick question for you.
I tried, but I threw up in my mouth a little bit.
Quick question. Yeah. Has Anthony Daniels ever talked about anything but playing C-3PO?
I love that the first thing he says is, I am famous for whatever.
Has he ever done anything else with his life?
No.
He has not. Well, to his credit, I think he was a stage actor in England. Before he auditioned for Star Wars, and then he's been pretty busy.
Yeah, Wait, with you Star say Wars. Audition, but he talks about it like he like turned down the role to begin with.
Yeah, let's hear this again really quick from old Anthony here. Hold on. Here we go.
You know, I am famous for having turned down the opportunity to be in Star Wars. Back in 1975, I hadn't wanted to meet a director called George Lucas, but I did. But I wasn't interested in his sci-fi movie until I saw Ralph McQuarrie's conceptual artwork of the character.
All right, at least he gives credit to McQuarrie, so good for him.
Yeah, so the answer... Steve,
you have to blame Ralph McQuarrie for C-3PO now. Sorry, Scott. Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, to paraphrase Steve's answer, no, he hasn't done anything but Star Wars. So
I have a little piece of trivia that I'm going to lay on you guys right now.
Bring it on.
So in like 1976 or 77, Ralph Bakshi did an animated version of The Lord of the Rings. Is anybody ringing any bells for anybody?
Yes, yep. Absolutely. Yep.
Anthony Daniels is the voice of Legolas in that animated film. So wow. He was the Orlando Bloom of his generation.
Wow.
Oh god. Wow.
I didn't realize Legolas was a pompous ass. Wow, that's so amazing.
So it's gonna be
with Anthony Daniels
as Legolas.
I just want to isolate that clip where he says, "I'm famous." I think that's going to be a regular contribution to the show. Unlike C-3PO, there is a droid character that you can actually like in Star Wars, and that's R2-D2, guys. He's everybody's hero, everybody's best friend. The dog everybody wants next to your, at your side when you're going through an adventure, you need a best friend, a companion like C-3PO, like R2-D2. And but you know, there are some issues with R2-D2 that and some of them can't even be resolved by Luke Skywalker himself, Mark Hamill. And one of them, as Mark Hamill tried to explain, or I guess didn't try not to explain or couldn't explain on Twitter, is that why didn't R2 just simply tell Luke, "Hey, you know, Vader's your dad." when he became Luke's property there on Tatooine.
Sorry about your dad.
I mean, there are lots of theories about this. This article is on ScreenRant.com. Star Wars R2-D2 plot hole confused even Mark Hamill. This is dated April 25th, 2020. Clearly, Star Wars is one of the greatest works of science fiction ever made, and its impact on pop culture cannot be overstated. Of course, there's such massive storytelling, can't help but have some ripped seams, and one of them is this massive plot hole where R2-D2 just does not mention to Luke that, you know, Darth Vader's your dad. Now there's some.
Well, I got a bigger plot hole than that.
Yeah.
Why didn't R2-D2 tell Princess Leia Darth Vader's your dad?
Yeah.
All the time he spent with Princess Leia.
Maybe R2's the asshole in real life and not C-3PO.
That's why they bleep out every one of his lines. That's during right. nine oh. movies.
He's filthy, filthy, filthy mouth.
That son of a bitch.
So there are lots of theories about this. Maybe he just, you know, he didn't want to destroy Luke's psyche. Maybe it was like, you know, a whole sort of Obi-Wan, you know, from another point of view approach to life. Who knows? Whatever the reason is, he never told him.
Yeah, R2 didn't know for sure that Luke, maybe Skywalker is a common name. Let's just throw that out there. Maybe Skywalker is a common name on Tatooine.
But that's been well established. It is, yeah.
Maybe R2 didn't say anything to Luke because he's like, well, maybe it's not the same. Maybe it's not the same person. Mm-hmm. And then when Obi-Wan's like, "Oh, I don't recognize you, droid." R2's like, "Whoa, maybe I'm doubting myself and what's going on here."
So wait, are and you then saying when Dave, Luke there's runs some
off,
gas?
And then when Luke, and then when Luke runs off to like try to rescue his, you know, barbecued aunt and uncle, and Obi-Wan now has some quality alone time with the droids, he pulls R2 aside and says, "I know you and you know me, and I instruct you to never reveal what you know to that boy or that girl."
That's some deep, dark, misleading, gaslighting shit going on in the Star Wars universe, man. What's what?
It's a crazy fucked up. It's a crazy fucked up world, Scott. I just live here.
It so, just got so dark, man.
So this whole story was predicated on, of course, Mark Hamill. Mark Hamill's tweet was, "I read this tweet, thought long and hard, and shrugged and walked away." And the tweet that he's talking about is posted by John Roderick, who says, "My daughter just asked, R2-D2 was there the whole story and never had his memory wiped. So why didn't he just tell Luke that Vader was his father at some point?" And Mark Hamill posted a picture of Lucille Ball shrugging like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah.
Seriously, hashtag no possible answer, Mark Hamill says.
When I said he's an asshole, seriously, because Luke gives him a bunch of shit in Empire when he's like falls off the ship and he's like,
yeah.
"R2, it's over there." And he's like, "Holy crap, you're kind of a dick to R2." And R2's like, "Yeah, you know what? I got some info on you, pal." You know what? Now I'm not even going to tell you. You know, you run off and get your hand chopped off, prick.
You son of a bitch.
Well, you know, R2-D2 may not be the only dick in the Star Wars universe. There are others. And one of them just might be the corporation that owns the franchise, guys. And that is, shockingly, Disney.
What?
I know.
When did Disney buy Star Wars?
I know. I know. Shocking.
Was nobody going to tell me this?
Thanks, R2-D2.
So this is widely reported, and now my browser's causing me problems. But at TheWrap.com,
sure, fault too.
See, Disney knows I'm about to talk about him. This has to do with May the 4th. And there was a tweet that Disney dropped. See, it's not letting me read anymore. I'm going to have to go with this by memory. Disney Plus, I think it was the account on Twitter. They dropped a tweet that was like, "Hey, what are you doing for May the 4th? Let us know with the hashtag May the 4th, and we may repost your tweet. If you hashtag May the 4th, you agree to our legal right to repost your Twitter name and information."
Oh boy.
And Twitter
Scott sees the problem there right away.
Twitter exploded with, "Wait, does Disney own a date on the calendar? Wait, May the 4th is my birthday. Does Disney own my birthday? Don't I have rights to putting May the 4th in any?" And it went on and on. So then Disney Plus tweeted again and said, "Oh, we meant that if you tweet hashtag May the 4th and tag at Disney Plus, then you give us the right to use your tweet in our blah blah blah." So
yeah, they were asking the reporters sarcastically, right, Steve? They didn't actually mean what they were saying. They were asking the reporters sarcastically.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure of it.
Oops. Sorry, guys. Whoopsie.
So, you know, Twitter, of course, lit up over this, and somebody was, you know, like pontificating. So is this was that the apology of a very sorrowful social media manager, or was that like lawyer speak that we just heard from the legal department? It's just fascinating to watch a corporate entity like Disney spin these sorts of things. So Scott, I've been dying to talk to you about this story. What say you about the latest Disney controversy? Can they legally own a date on the calendar, Scott?
Hold on, let me hashtag Disney Plus.
They will goddamn try it.
You can take my gun, you know, when you fry it from my cold dead hand.
They're not trying to own a date. They're trying to own a hashtag.
Right.
Yeah. And all they're saying about the hashtag is they're not owning it. Is they're saying that by using this hashtag, you are entering into a contest. And entering into contests have all sorts of contractual obligations that you are open to. And nobody uses the term May the 4th outside of, you know, Disney really anymore. So I don't see why not.
So that's a great point, Nico. I think the bigger point here, though, is that May the 4th is a fan's concoction that is now sort of like an attempted coup by you know, the mothership is trying to co-opt this fan developed holiday. But to your point, one Twitter user tweeted at Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey, asking, at what point do you step in and specifically say that hashtags don't belong to anyone? So Scott, go ahead.
Okay. Wow. Why do I see a South Park episode building from this? seriously, this is out of control. You know what? I'll sign over on this. And you know me, I'm always the anti-corporate Disney guy, but I'll sign off on this if the person that came up with the idea for May the 4th gets some residuals out of this. And decent. Don't pull this Disney shit where you get 0.0001%. Give the guy or whoever it was, give that guy a little credit. Sure, whatever. But seriously, it's just God, where are we in our life? In a pandemic, we're worrying about this crap.
So one Twitter user, Mark Sweeney, tweeted, quote, by reading my tweet, Disney agrees to pay me $1 million US by no later than May the 4th, 2020.
I thought that was pretty strong. I'm not going to lie.
That was pretty good. But hashtag two can play that game is the.
You know what? I'm following suit on that one. That's great.
Yeah.
I'm going to hashtag all my shit like that from now on.
Anyway, I thought this was a fun story. And, you know, I love that Disney and Disney Plus and Star Wars, you know, they want to honor this you know, fan-built sort of phenomenon that has grown into, you know, this global sort of pseudo-holiday now. Yeah, this was going a little too far, but I thought it was a fun story.
I'm sure it got taken out of context, like way too much, like went, it got overblown or whatever. But seriously, it's not that big of a deal. It's just something fun.
Yeah, so it's one of those things where there's too many lawyers involved in it, and they, you know, and we do live in an age where if you fucking look at somebody the wrong way, you're gonna get like the fucking shit sued out of you for doing it. So
I know. Yeah. Yeah.
Too much CYA on Disney's part on that
and,
one.
And yeah. Honestly, Greg, that's all we could really do with each other nowadays because we got masks on. So all I can do is throw dirty looks at people. So hashtag dirty looks.
Well, when you're alone and in private, you may want to take your mask off for one of these because you can actually drink.
Hey, whoa there, Steve. Whoa,
easy,
whoa.
Easy. You can actually.
Whoa, Steve just got Pornhub on us. Wow.
cue the Star Wars porn music, Scott.
Really weird place.
You can actually drink a Coke out of a thermal detonator bottle and not go to Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah, but you have to drive all the way to Alabama.
You just have to get to Alabama. Disney exclusive Star Wars thermal detonator Coke bottles showed up at an Alabama grocery store this week.
I am sliding across the hood of the General Lee and hopping in right now, guys.
And if an Alabama store clerk looks at you and says, "You got a pretty mouth, boy," don't worry about it.
Where
That's
is,
what they do for all the locals.
Oh, my God.
Where is the sixth member of the Wretched Hive, Chris Evans, when we need him to comment on this story?
I don't think he would disagree with anything that has flown out of our pie holes yet so far.
Thermal detonator Coke bottles sold exclusively in Star Wars Galaxy's Edge at Disneyland and Hollywood Studios in Florida have popped up in an unauthorized remote outpost, okay, in Alabama during the coronavirus closures of Disney theme parks around the globe. A pallet of Disney Edge Galaxy's Edge exclusive Coke products were spotted in a small family-owned grocery store, and they've got a picture. The funny thing is, so they're selling 12 of these. So they're like the regular, exactly the same like I've got on the shelf right over there. You know, there's 12 of them, and they're selling they're selling 12 for $6.99. Now,
and that's how much they sell one for inside the park.
I was gonna say, I think I paid $5.99 for my one bottle inside the park.
All those assholes on eBay are like, motherfucker.
I know. Now they were expired. They're all stamped April 20th, which is add some intrigue. Yeah,
I'll take my chances on the quality of the soda in those bottles.
There you go. if you look closely, the bottles are printed with an expiration date of April 20th, meaning that they're either nearly expired or already expired, but probably still good, especially for collectors, according to WDW News Today.
Okay, there are people with cans of new Coke out there, guys.
Yeah, I know. Well, that was a new thing. That was a resurgence that happened with what was it?
Stranger Things. The original old cans of new Coke.
It hasn't eaten through the can itself. That's crazy.
Did you guys actually read the story about the guy who saved a can of the Chef Boyardee or the SpaghettiOs Spider-Man product from the mid-1990s? And finally opened it this year to see what would happen. And it didn't age well. I'll just leave it at that. It's late at night. I don't want to gross anybody out. But.
Oh,
thank you, Jesus, for internet. So I will go look that up.
that reminds me real quick, sorry Scott, that reminds me, it's a great story from the late great Kevin and Bean show where Jimmy Kimmel got his start. They took a piece of bacon from an Egg McMuffin and tacked it to a wall in their studio for exactly 1 year, at which point after that year Jimmy Kimmel, yes that Jimmy Kimmel, ate the bacon.
Oh god,
it probably tasted exactly like it would have on day one, I'm guessing. That's funny.
Wasn't he mildly ill after that? Am I misremembering?
I don't know if he, like, you know, how much he was playing. He said on the radio he was feeling ill. I don't know if he actually got sick. Obviously, he's fine now. But yeah, ate a year-old piece of bacon.
And I'm sure that when he agreed to do it, it never entered his head that the thing would actually still be there.
Yeah, that it would last there for a year.
Yeah, that it would be resembling an edible condition. Talk about writing a check you think you're never going to have to cash.
Guys, we got one final story. Let
me do a follow-up on that. The Coke and the Sprite pods that are showing up. Just to be fair and safe out there, your chances of surviving and getting them at Disneyland over this whole COVID-19, go to Disneyland. Do not go to Alabama to get those.
Scott, Disneyland's not open. How are we supposed to do that?
Oh, don't worry. You'll only get chased around by the Disneyland police. I didn't tell you that story? Guys,
you
got to talk
me.
You have experience with this.
You told me. I don't know about everybody else.
Oh, my God. Good stuff. I got some goofy canine Disneyland police stories for you.
Oh my God. All right. We got one final story of the night, guys. And this one has to do with a famous Star Wars pilot. He's actually also a real earthbound pilot, Harrison Ford. Guys,
on the show. Why don't I understand what you're always talking about being on the show?
Greg,
I've been flying planes for goddamn 30 years. Why can't you just let me be?
I was about to tell you to get the impression ready because we have rare footage. Just get your impression ready. Actor and pilot Harrison Ford admits making an error on the runway. Another one, guys.
Goddamn Ford. I'll talk when I want to.
At a California airport. This is on NBC News and U.S. News. NBCNews.com. The incident happened after Ford, 77, misheard radio instructions at Hawthorne Airport, right here locally, just about 15 miles north of where we are right now.
I like how Steve is surprised at Hawthorne Airport, like he's surprised Hawthorne has an airport.
No, that's in our neighborhood. It's close by here. The Federal Aviation Administration is investigating an incident on a runway in a Southern California airport involving a plane flown by actor and pilot Harrison Ford. Quote, the pilot of an Aviat Husky taxied across the runway at Hawthorne Municipal Airport Friday afternoon, while another aircraft was performing a touch-and-go landing last week, the Federal Aviation Administration said. The Husky was piloted by Harrison Ford. It crossed the western edge of the runway.
Piloted, in air quotes. Piloted.
Air quotes. Air quotes.
While the other plane was taking off around 3,600 feet to the east. So there was never, they were never close to any collision. There was never emergency maneuvering.
That's considered close in airplane parlance, though, just so you know. 3,600 feet. That's not good.
Right. When something's traveling at 200 miles an hour, yeah, that's not good.
A spokeswoman for the Star Wars and Indiana Jones star said no one was injured and there was never any danger of any collision. But we have actual footage of Harrison Ford explaining what happened that day over at Hawthorne Airport. So here we go. This is rare footage of Harrison Ford. We just happen to have the mics rolling. Harrison Ford explaining what happened over at Hawthorne Airport just last week. Here we go.
I just told that guy, look, I'm goddamn Indiana Jones. Just get the fuck out of my way and let me move this goddamn plane. I don't care where he's going. I sat next to a cobra. What the fuck?
There you go. Oh man, he immediately acknowledged the mistake and apologized to ATC for the error. The spokeswoman said the purpose of the flight was to maintain currency and proficiency in the aircraft and to shoot down some TIE fighters. So there you go,
Steve. We have breaking news coming in right now. He actually has an update to that confession, blaming it on his Wookiee co-pilot.
Oh.
Chewbacca.
Okay, so guys,
I read that he was quoted in the terminal before boarding the plane that he wasn't fit to fly, and he yelled at someone, well, who's going to pilot it, kid? You?
Oh, man.
That's what he said to the control tower. They're like, hey, Cherokee Flight 2781, you're on the wrong runway.
Oh man.
If we all could spend an hour with Harrison Ford, but we had to do it in an airplane with him flying, would we do that?
No.
Oh. Yeah. Hell yeah, that'd be so much fun. Are you kidding me?
Can you imagine dying in an airplane crash with Harrison Ford? That would be the best.
Are you kidding me? If okay. he was gonna die in an airplane accident, it would have already happened in the 12 other incidences that happened in the last 10 years. Like,
yeah, remember a few years ago
he put
the vintage World War II fighter plane on the golf course.
On the golf course.
Yeah, he had another incident at Orange County's John Wayne Airport out here.
Yeah, he flew 50 feet over because he landed on the taxiway instead of the runway.
Yeah.
He buzzed the tower on a 747 that was getting ready to take off.
So out of the five of us, one of us will be in a crash. What are the odds on that? 2,370 to 1.
Never funny the odds.
Oh man.
All right.
God.
Oh, man. All right. Well, that brings us to this. It's the Star Wars Tweet of the Week.
Yahoo! Really?
Curious.
Really? Because everybody knows that Twitter is a source of endless positivity.
You're gravely mistaken.
Come to your senses!
Well, there are a few Twitter accounts that are kind of funny. Sometimes.
Steve.
That's right, the Star Wars Tweet of the Week. This week's tweet is brought to you by Death Star PR on Twitter. Death Star PR, with all your public relations needs for your Death Star. Find them at Death Star PR on Twitter. They've actually got two entries. Death Star PR, two solid entries from 2 days in a row this week. On April 27th. Dave, you shared this one to the thread, and I had to put it up. It's strong. Death Star PR, quote, extremely pleased to announce that we have completely eradicated COVID-19 on Alderaan.
Oh, that actually is really funny.
Oh, my God.
I think that might be the first tweet we've laughed at in a while.
The first that was legitimate so strong tweet. When I read it. Holy shit.
And the next day, April 28th, Darth Vader might be evil, but at least he always wears his mask when he goes to visit people. Well, there you go.
That's like a global pandemic to make Star Wars fucking funny again.
Oh my God.
All right, let's get out of here.
Do it.
Awesome. Man, Death Star PR coming through like a hero, like a champ.
Good job. Seriously. Good job.
Well done, Death Star PR.
It was much needed, Death Star PR. Much needed. Thanks for coming through for us. Man.
You have redeemed yourselves, Twitter. Guys, episode 149. Yeah, 149 is in the books.
That's a lie.
Are you still chronologically adding in all the mini episodes?
Of course, because we obey iTunes, Nico.
Our lords and master iTunes.
iTunes is the giver of all that is podcasting.
All hail at the temple of Steve Jobs.
I, for one, welcome our new Apple overlords.
Well, guys, this was a lot of fun. This was a good episode.
You need to watch that Clone Wars shit, though. Seriously.
I know.
At least those two episodes. Because, look, I'm still on season one, like episode five.
I'm on season one.
I watched those two episodes, and they are good.
Yeah, episode one is tough to get through. The hair doesn't move. Everything's sort of like flat and static, and it's tough to get through.
I'll get there, guys. I just, you know, I had important stuff to do and deal with some health issues. So, you know, the Goonies and anxiety issues. So we're good.
You know, I haven't watched that Goonies reunion yet either. I think I need to watch that.
Oh my God, I'm not bullshitting you. I fucking cried.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
We're going to have to talk about that next episode. I have not seen this.
Yeah.
All right.
So good.
Okay. It was like a Zoom chat with the entire Goonies cast. Like the entire Goonies cast.
Oh. Like everybody.
Even the crazy ones.
Yeah. Wow.
And you know, Steven Spielberg.
The Dodgers are doing a Zoom check-in every now and then. You can check out all the Dodger players. Guys, have a great 2 weeks. We'll see you then, and until then, may the Force be with us all.